This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi, guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I am a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the super fan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects.
We're here to talk about a great OST, a great fucking show, and whatever else we fucking come up with on another episode of
Anime Noise.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where the cue was coming in there.
I got you.
You got me.
You did it solo today.
I did it solo today.
You did it solo today. Take the solo.
I will take it. Just dish it out. Yeah, we're here today, guys, to talk about Dororo, the 2019 version, of course, keeping it modern. This anime was fucking killer.
This was a killer episode. Now, I don't know anywhere else to watch it, but I'm pretty sure that Amazon is the only person streaming it because...
Person?
Huh?
Amazon's the only person streaming it. I'm giving you shit.
Yeah, okay. We did. Meh. Yeah, Amazon is the only website that is streaming it. Amazon owns it. So you can watch it on Amazon if you haven't seen it and stop listening to this and go watch it yourself and then come back. Come back and join us.
There will be some spoilers, I'm sure.
A lot.
Inevitably is going to be. It is really good and we set a record for best OST rating so far.
In this season.
So far. Yeah, in this season, of course. This is the first season we've done ratings.
That's true. But going back, we could totally go back to our old episodes and
we definitely could add them.
I mean, that's an Instagram post right there.
That's true. Look at that.
Look at that. Brainstorming as we go.
Two birds stoned at once.
Bitches.
Yeah.
All right. So Dororo, awesome. Please go watch it if you haven't. For those of us who have and want to stick around, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Take it away.
Cool. This one aired January for the winter season of 2019. It is a remake of the 1969 series, and it's got 24 episodes. Just 24.
Just 24? It's a very easy watch.
Don't think there's going to be a season two, though.
I don't think that would be necessary. It ended well.
It ended.
It was good.
The only thing is that the manga goes into him seeing her as a teenager. So that could potentially be anime-only story because obviously, as you'll find out later in the episode.
You mean the anime?
No.
What are you talking about?
In the episode.
Where we
talk about the creator and why there probably won't be any more story. But yeah, I don't think that I don't think there's going to be a season two, but maybe if it were just anime only, not manga.
Yeah, I don't think there will be.
I don't think there will either.
Yeah, it would have to be picked up. There's too much good shit going on right now. There's too much good manga and good animes to make and other remakes that they got to do continuations rather that they got to do.
Indeed.
Yeah. So. Summary for you guys. During the 1470s, after the wars of Onin and Bunmei, in the Noto Peninsula of the Hokuriku district, Hyakkimaru, who lacks as much as 12 body parts due to a deal with 12 demons made by his father, Dororo, an orphan turned thief, accompanies and helps Hyaki fight demons along the way, pledging to help him gain all of his stolen body parts. And, you know,
and that's what
it's,
happens.
It's emotional. It is brutal. It'll hook you right out of the gate. Episode one, I mean, first 10 minutes will get you. It is very creepy and very dark.
Super dark.
Super, super dark. And I love the historical fiction of this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. The studio that did it was MAPPA. You guys all know them really well. And it was licensed by Sentai Filmworks. Yes. Who directed it?
Kazuhiro Furuhashi. You'll know him from Hunter x Hunter episode that we did. However, a little update. He also is directing Spy Family. So let's add that to his newest direction.
Yeah. So he's already kind of a titan.
He's already there. Yep. He's already there. The sound director was Kisuke Koizumi. You'll know him from our listeners episode. And the sound effects were done by Shizuo Kurahashi.
You know them very well.
You know them incredibly well from a lot of our episodes. Soul Eater, Attack on Titan, Full Metal Alchemist, My Hero Academia. However, he most recently did the Netflix movie Bubble, which if you have seen that.
That is a surprisingly good movie. I wasn't sure what to expect from it.
And you know what's funny about that movie is that Mabry was the one who told us to watch
it. Emily's daughter recommended it to us, and she made us watch
it. She's such a weeb. I love it.
You guys will like that. It's kind of a cool take on The Little Mermaid.
Indeed.
Yeah. Little Mermaid meets Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Can I talk about the original creator?
Go for it.
Cool. If you don't know anything really about Dororo, like maybe you just watched the anime and you don't know anything about it, you should know that the original creator is somebody incredibly, like, has left a legacy, like an imprint on the manga and anime community. So the original creator of the manga is Osamu Tezuka. And literally on almost every website I researched with him in it, he is referred to as the god of manga. This man has achieved incredibly too much in his lifetime for any one human being. Like, it is astonishing. So much so that his son Makoto Tezuka took on the task of continuing his legacy. He is just getting started, so hopefully we'll see more from him soon. If it was not for Tezuka, the Japanese manga and anime would not look the way that it does right now for a variety of reasons. He basically started the anime art style that we know now, today, because of Astro Boy. So he wrote Captain Atom and Astro Boy.
He pioneered manga.
He was a pioneer. His purpose for creating comics was when he came to the realization that he could help to convince people to care for the world and was inspired by the Chinese animation Princess Iron Fan. So, of course, everybody's got inspiration, and it what a great reason to create like he did. He wrote Captain Atom and Astro Boy and even had his own animation studio, Mushi Studios. They collaborated with MAPPA for Kids on the Slope, which if you haven't seen that one and you love jazz music, please go watch
Kids on the Slope. Go watch that. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I noticed you skipped a little note here. And he wrote his first manga when he was 9?
Yeah. Yeah, he was born in 1928 and he wrote his first manga in 1937. It was called Pen Pen Namachan.
Interesting. Well, he started super young.
And he went to medical school. Like what? That's crazy to me. So at first, at the beginning of his career, his works were geared toward children. Astro Boy, you know, all of that stuff. He even had, I think it was something about unicorns. You know, it was all geared towards children. But around that time I guess it was like the late 1960s, there was a Gagiga movement. And he hopped on board and worked on works more geared towards adults, which is what that means. And it involved more violence, erotic scenes, drugs. And the first to come from this transition was Dororo. And that began serialization in 1969 in Shonen. Fun fact, he was obsessed with insects and even changed the way he spelled his name to include the character for insect, mushi, also where the studio got its name. And Japanese is so weird. Me and Garrett were having this conversation, I think it was last night or maybe the night before. And we were talking about how characters, is when we were listening to the Dororo OST. And all of the titles are in Japanese. And so having to go through and like search through terms, it's like, this could mean this, or it could mean this, or it could mean this based on how it's used. So his name was actually pronounced the same, but it was spelled completely different. And I find that so weird, because if you changed one letter in my name, it would be a totally different name, pronounced totally different.
That's not true. You could change like your Y in Emily to double E.
That's true. But if I were to like change changed.
I think the weirdest part about it to me, the thing that catches me off guard, is like,
he named himself after an insect.
No, not even that. It's more like that the double E, in if you change the Y to a double E,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't mean anything. It would just be phonetically
same.
Like maybe because it looks different, but there's like the double E doesn't symbolize anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
Japanese is fucking cool.
It is a very cool language. I would love to learn more.
Now, here is my all-time favorite part, and I saved it for last because it's chronologically correct, but it's also last because it is going to leave a great taste in your mouth. So he passed away in 1989 from stomach cancer, also why there will probably never be another manga. His last known words were, "I'm begging you, let me work," spoken to a nurse who had tried to take away like his pencils and like paper and shit. Like he was trying to just draw. In 2014, his daughter opened up a drawer since his death that has been locked and found a few items that were quite peculiar. So in this drawer was a half-eaten piece of chocolate, a doting handwritten essay about the Akira creator Katsuhiro Otomo, various drawings from previous projects, and my favorite, and a large number of erotic sketches of anthropomorphic animals.
John Oliver would love that.
Right? I think that's hilarious. There is a purpose that he did have these animals in his drawer. Not sure that they needed to be erotic, but everybody's got their kink, so I'm not shaming anyone.
Yeah, needless to say, this guy is one of the most important people in the anime world or manga world.
Indeed.
Both. Just because of the legacy that what we're watching now is the legacy that he left behind. Not just Dororo, just anime in general, the art style, yeah. Everything that you love about it. He left that to he influenced so many others.
And actually, we've talked about him before on Instagram, because we did a post about what like is considered the oldest anime from our time. And
which was what? Astro Boy? Yeah.
Well, technically it was Captain Atom, and Astro Boy was the sidekick. And then he renamed Captain Atom Astro Boy because it had a better marketing skill. So, yeah.
Interesting. Marketed better, huh? Cool.
It did. Well, it is fitting that we went in the order that we went through, because Garrett had to help me with the research we had such a quick turnaround.
Research this week for this episode on the opener and the ender, the first two songs on this anime. And I learned quite a bit. We have a new band that we get to talk about. I don't know how to pronounce this. It's in English, it means fire. But the song is called Kan. Kain?
Kain.
Is it Kain?
Kain.
This song is by Queen Bee, who we'll get into that in just a second. The song appeared on episodes 1 through 12, and it debuted on the episode's air date, and the single, which includes two other tracks, was released commercially on February 13th, 2019, shortly after it aired, and it peaked at number 22 on the Oricon charts, which is kind of crazy. It's one of their most well-known songs. Queen Bee is, they have quite the backstory, especially their lead singer.
I love their lead singer.
Oh, and crazy vocals all over the place. With their music and imagery that they call fashion punk, they have made quite a splash in J-rock in recent years. Queen Bee, or Joubachi, as they are known in Japan, was formed in 2009. All of the band members go by pseudonyms, so very little is known about their personal lives. But their lead singer, composer, and lyricist, Avu-chan, is not only half African-American, half Japanese, she is also one of the few openly trans musicians in the Japanese music scene. She is incredibly talented with quite the portfolio, but we'll get into that in a sec. Queen Bee released their first EP under their own label in 2010, followed by another EP released later in 2010. In 2011, they released their first full-length album, Witch Hunt, which was picked up and purchased by Sony, along with their record label, with the intention to release another full-length album, Peacock, later in 2011.
God damn.
That's fucking crazy. So you have two EPs in the same year and two full-length albums the following year. That's a lot of music.
Do you know at what part of 2011 that they released that first album?
I don't. I didn't go that into detail with it.
Because that'd be crazy if they like released it in like it's June within, it, and I then they like released another one like in December. That's crazy.
Yeah. They're pumping out music. And, well, they still are. In 2018, now I skipped a few years here, but that's because Avu-chan, they were still making music, but they went through, we didn't get to the anime industry until 2018. In 2018, they made their anime debut with the song Half, which is the ending theme for Tokyo Ghoul Re, which is actually about Avu-chan's struggles as a half black person living in Japan.
So she like actually related to the character
Kaneki. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. It just brings a whole new perspective to the song. But they have also performed songs for Devilman Crybaby. I'm talking about Avu-chan, not just Queen Bee. Devilman Crybaby, Love Strikes, Tokyo Ghoul, S, Sadako, and Spooky Romantics.
So while she is with the band, she also carries her own solo career?
No, I think actually they did write all those songs, but they did switch up members of the band.
Oh, okay.
They shuffled some members.
Okay.
And being that, I know that there are performers too, but being that she is the composer, lyricist, and
arranger.
Just songwriter, yeah. I've given her most of the credit here. They shook up the industry in 2019, releasing the album 10, which hit number one on iTunes in Japan and peaked at number four on Oricon.
Oricon, you're so rough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Oricon's, it's all about who
it's
buys
all about
what.
Sales. I know.
And again, without even waiting a year, they released the album BL in February of 2020.
Those
so they
animals
churn out music.
They're like, here, let's like take a break for like 2 years, and then let's just pop out those albums.
Yeah.
Just get it all
done. I don't
even
know if they took a break.
That's crazy.
So I guess in a sense, based on your question earlier, Avu-chan does have kind of a solo career. Not that it's separate musically from the rest of the band, but in addition to Queen Bee, Avu-chan is also a member of the band Gokumonto Ika. And outside of music, she has acted on stage in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, on TV in the Spooky Romantics, and has done some voice acting in Devilman Crybaby. I didn't look up which character, but I thought that was really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Super talented.
We listened to her first take on this song, and her presence is just fascinating. Like, just the way she, like, takes her breaths in between, like, lines and how her range varies from so deep to being very high.
She seems so quiet and soft-spoken, too.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just a little nervous for the take, but...
Well, I also think probably, like, you know, being in a public eye and being who she is, I think she probably, like, takes caution being in public.
I don't think she takes caution at all. Look at all this stuff that she has just
churned
out.
Oh, no, I mean,
but
this is
a hustler.
But this is her art. Like,
yeah,
you know, this is like the way she gets to express herself. Anything else other than that, like formality and shit like that, I'm sure there's like some caution, especially like in today's world, for lack of better words.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm assuming that Japan is pretty progressive. They seem like it. So I don't think that would be.
Well, I think maybe in some parts of Japan, but not all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that much about Japan. I would love to go visit and learn the culture.
We're doing it. We're going to do it. That's our thing.
One fucking day.
Well, let's listen to this beautiful fucking song.
Yes. I'm not going to mispronounce it anymore. I'm just going to call it Fire.
Got it.
So here's Fire by Queen Bee.
That is over.
I like how they do it in like a very vintagey, like old style.
Oh, like that. It looks like painting, like a watercolor.
Yeah. Like the animation. And like the grain, it almost looks like it's parchment that's like stained. But the animation is like.
I love the mix of this song.
What a freaking, like, hype song for this anime.
This song kicks ass.
Because you still, it's like, it's got that pop factor that, like, is what everybody loves, but it still maintains, like, a alternative rock vibe.
Oh,
that
it's super
is
alternative.
Like, definitely,
I can see why you'd call it pop, but only because of like the instrumentation.
Only because of the instrumentation. But sometimes that's all you need is the instrumentation,
yeah.
And people can call it pop.
Yeah, that song is fucking nuts. The full song is great too. I listened to it.
Yeah.
Trying to find the video, like, so when we, the original video that we had on our playlist, it was just kind of a crappy audio quality. So I went and looked for another one, but there was a bunch of 3-minute ones. And then I found this one, which had the actual animation for the opening sequence. But it was like all in Japanese. So I wasn't sure. Couldn't read it.
We just don't know yet.
But yeah, no, that song is so good. Like the instruments that they chose, the groove that they had. I know it's a drum machine. They're synthesized, but it was done really well.
No, everything.
I love the bass line.
Like everything from the instrumentation to the build to the chorus to everything.
The bass line was super simple. I'm pretty sure it was like, it's mostly only roots, but it made sense. And the syncopation was cool. It followed the drums really, really well. And they had sound design in there too. That was awesome. It was just a very, very well put together song. Awesome production.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
Lyrically,
what?
It's talking about like the fire within humans, but like from a perspective. So of course the first line is like, party's over, but I still want to dance. I can't even sleep. Someday, one day, my passion's fire will.
Okay.
I love this song so much, and it's like, you know when you like something so much that you just want it to fit?
Well, I mean, lyrically it may not. I think musically it does.
Yeah, because I mean, like, love is dying, but it hasn't gone out. I might want to forget someday. One day my passion's fire will. I'm not playing with fire. I can't be tepid. Stale karma, trauma, scorch, magma drama. This insatiable thirst, it's like a blue flame. Death is next.
Lots of poetry.
Days gone. Before long, everything will become one. So it's like,
that kind of fits.
Right.
You can make it fit.
You could make it fit. I mean, and it's like interpretation. So somebody may be like, oh, that definitely fits. So to me, it just seems like I'm trying to make it fit, which I feel like I'm now biased. And I feel like I'm not a good fit for this
if
judgment. You're,
if I was going to take a third party role,
yeah, take and, that third party
and
role.
Look at it. Look at it objectively. It does. It's so poetic, and they did a great job being poetic. That it doesn't not fit.
I through and through believe that it fits. So I'm
going to give it a check.
I'm going to give it a check as well, because if I can attempt to make the lyrics fit, then it probably fits. But if like it doesn't make any sense, there's plenty of times where I'm like, oh, these lyrics don't make any fucking sense.
And the song still, even though it's really modern, it still has that kind of, I don't know, this mysticism about it that like with all the production going on, it fits. It fits the story.
It's a really good.
Are you yawning right now?
Yeah, I yawned. It's 10 o'clock and I've been hanging out with a puppy and a child.
Yeah, it's been a busy day today.
It's been a busy day. So I apologize for my yawns. I definitely give this a check. I think it fits very well. And I think that's all we need to say about it.
Yep. Boom. Done.
Bam.
All right. On to ending number one. I also researched this one, but it didn't really have much. Plus, we've already done a Maserati.
We've done all, after Queen Bee, we have done all of the other artists, which is really cool. So, like, I love when I get to hear artists and compare songs and how they fit into the anime. Ending one is called Sayonara Goko, which means something.
Goodbye.
A pretend goodbye.
Pretend goodbye.
Pretend goodbye. By Amazurashi. Again, episodes 1 through 12. Like OP1, this debuted, and the anime's air date and the single, which includes three other tracks, was also released commercially on February 13th of 2019. And this particular song peaked at number 9 on... Garrett left out a word.
What, the Oricon?
You left out the.
The Oricon.
We had that conversation while you were writing these notes, and you refused. You put it on Queen Bee.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I put the Oricon charts.
Garrett.
I was grammatically correct.
Garrett. It peaked at number 9 on the Oricon.
Yes, it beat Fire.
Yeah, that's weird. It I don't like fire. That. I don't like that.
I mean, it's still.
I mean, it's a great song. It's not a great song. It's a good song.
Let's listen to it. We'll let you guys decide.
We've heard great songs. We're reviewing this. Our say is final.
It's got the same vibe as the first one.
It does have the same vibe, and I like that it's a little like less heavy at
the
end.
Even the art is very similar.
Yeah.
It definitely has the release of an
ending
song.
That's what I'm saying. Like I like that it's a little less.
This is a good pairing. The sound director did a great job, or the music director.
Because really, there's not an episode in Dororo that you come out of it and it's like a good feel.
And there's also not a lot. I mean, I've heard a lot of animes. The songs that they pick for the opener and the ender have nothing to do with each other.
Right. Like they don't pair well.
The music director and the sound director did a great job of just making a great production all around. They thought about it beginning to end. And paired the songs really well. So not only does it fit the anime, but it also is, it holds hands with the first song.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that.
They're pros. Absolute pros.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get it, Dororo staff.
That's right. Great fucking job.
Good job.
Song had a cool groove, had a nice, like, a little acoustic kind of vibe to it. It was a little quieter and intimate, even with the synthesized drums. I'm assuming they're synthesized. I didn't really pay attention that second time.
Garrett, you know what happens when we assume.
It makes an ass out of you.
And you.
I actually did that to somebody
before. You can't catch me. You've done that to me.
Did you say
I've fallen for
that
before.
Yeah, you fell for it.
Yeah. So you can't.
I can.
You cannot. You cannot catch me. I'm a fucking gingerbread man, bitch.
oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Lyrically, let's see how this holds up, shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. That's not English. I need English, my friends.
Bro, I need English.
Melancholy scatters in the wind and casts a shadow where it gathers. Our footsteps incessantly remind us of our impermanence. Good God. And I get so lost when I peer into the depth of your eyes, which is fitting because he lacks them for most of the anime.
That's true.
We used to have high hopes, right? About what lies ahead. The reason we joke and laugh is the road we travel is so dark, and I guess it's our job to turn on the lights. This is a really poetic man, and we knew that from Naruto as well. He's super poetic.
And I think it actually, lyrically, it fits
lyrically,
better than the first song.
It fits way better than the first song. Yeah. I mean, that's like most of the, like, I'm all too familiar with pretending to say goodbye, but I still broke into tears as I waved farewell. I mean, this could have been a really good ending for the second half of this as well.
Yeah, it could have been all around, but they gave us a second one.
They gave us a second one. Well, I give it a check.
Yeah, it definitely gets a check.
Fucking chain.
Inevitable.
And now is our favorite part.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes. Garam, tell them about dish meat and potatoes.
The OST. It was released August of 2019 on the Sony Music label. It has two discs. Disc one is all TV-sized versions of the opening and endings, just four tracks. And disc two is the 33 tracks of the in-series beautiful, gorgeous music. Facts, yes. God, you write such weird notes for me to read. Personal
Who
opinion?
Knows?
Possibly. Is that why you wanted me to read this?
No, we just went in order.
Oh, okay. I see.
I just love that it's usually by chance. We don't really decide who says anything anymore.
That's true. Yeah, we just kind of just go.
We just go.
Total duration of 1 hour and 22 minutes. It was composed by Yoshihiro Ike. And
dun, dun, dun.
They are a composer, arranger, and bassist. Yes. After my own heart here. And they have worked on over 100 titles over the last 20 years in the gaming, TV, and anime industry. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It was a lot.
20 years of experience. One of his largest works include the Shadowverse OST.
Oh, this is my favorite fact.
Collectible card game turned anime, which is fucking, that's pretty fucking cool, which surpassed Lady Gaga's Shallow as number one on the iTunes highest ranking albums in 2018.
He surpassed fucking Lady Gaga. She's like
not
the
just
white
Lady
version
Gaga.
Of Queen Bee.
Not just Lady Gaga, Shallow.
Yeah. That I mean, like, come on. That's crazy.
That is pretty, that's a fucking big deal.
That is a big deal because how many times do you have to explain what an OST is to people when you tell people what we do, Garrett? What's an OST?
Yeah, once you say it out loud, they're like, oh, duh.
Yeah, but I mean, like, nobody thinks about it.
Original.
You think about what
soundtrack.
You hear on the radio or on Spotify or shit like that, but unless you listen to OSTs, Spotify is not going to play that for you. So,
that's true.
I mean, that it is a big deal. That's why it's my it's like one of my favorite facts on this entire fucking page.
That's a huge deal. Now I want to go listen to Shadowverse. He has been active in the music industry since 1985 and began playing bass for a band, Aike Band?
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it.
Which he also formed. He also created the music for the Aibo Tokyo Detective Duo series, a chef of Nobunga?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Nobunaga.
I mean, it doesn't have to be the same thing that you're saying it is.
I just thought it was, maybe it's a typo.
Look,
or something. I don't know.
You know,
I remember seeing this,
it could
this
be.
Poster on like Crunchyroll. And they also did the music for Blood, the Last Vampire, the movie. I haven't seen any of those.
No, but the Aibo series, there's a lot of seasons to those.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's like 6 or 7 of those.
Tokyo bitches. Detective Duo.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we had the pleasure of discussing what songs we wanted to play.
Yes, but so first we actually did that. Notes.
I know.
Oh, you know?
I know.
You just want to tell them that?
I just want to tell them that we actually decided. So, like, we're not going to sit here and be like,
I don't have to cut it all out.
What are we going to play?
I have to cut out us fucking making sound effects of flapping pages. Is that your flapping page? That was
my pages are wet, okay? They're sticking to each other.
They're wet.
They're pages. Suctioning.
Oh, my God. Gross. Just get that checked out.
Goddamn paper.
What are your overall notes, Emily?
Okay. Super traditional instrumentation, which is incredibly fitting to the setting of Dororo. These songs fly the fuck by, and I will touch on that later. Because upon listening more, I realized how much I liked that they were flying by and the purpose of it and what I think is the purpose of it. So I'll continue on. So far, I could half star all of these tracks, and this is by track 8. I could have starred every single one of these tracks. It was fabulous. It was awesome track to OST to listen to, and it left a lot of like versatility, and you never knew what the fuck was happening next.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. Versatility wise, I might disagree with that in just a little sense of the word, but keep going.
Okay. It was really traditional up until track 8. Like, I'm pretty sure it was like up until track 8, maybe track 9. But it also maintained like a modernism, more classical music, like, orchestral, not necessarily classical, because all of it is classical, aside from a few vocals thrown in, which is fabulous at the end. But yeah, like they had a lot of songs that had like traditional instrumentation, but then they also had some that didn't have that traditional sound to it. And I really liked that, which is another part of my versatility that I'm speaking of.
Well, the most versatile part that they did, there's random jazz thrown in there.
Random jazz.
So fucking random. And two different types of like really jazzy kind of grooves.
Yeah, it was interesting coming into that.
Yeah.
The sound design within a lot of these tracks is also very amazing. They did a really good job about like where they mixed it in and into your headphones and the sounds that they used. It was really good. Now, here's where I get to talk about why I felt like the tracks flew by is because there was like a point to the tracks. Like he got to the facts and he didn't like throw in anything extra. There was no looping, like unless it was necessary. It was just like part A, part B, part A. And then the song ended. There was no frills. It was straight to the point.
Yeah.
And the tracks were short. Like this was a pretty easy OST to get through, honestly, because you didn't hear the song like for 5 minutes. I think the highest track was like 3 minutes and some seconds.
Well, this one is 4:44.
But I think that's the only one that's like 4 minutes.
That is the only one over 4 minutes.
But like all of them are like within the 1 to 2 minute range.
Yeah,
and they
pretty
just
much.
And they just went by. And there were some moments where I was like, no, actually, now I want more. And we're gonna listen to one of those songs because I wanted more. I didn't understand why it stopped.
Yeah.
Again, like y'all know that I love dynamics, and this definitely had a bunch of dynamics. I loved how it felt like there was swelling, and then there was like they'd get really low, and then they get really loud. And this OST is the epitome of cohesiveness.
It is incredibly cohesive. It fits the anime beautifully. Beautifully.
And then also, like, he does a bunch, like, the only two tracks that, and he seemed to pair the things that were really cohesive with each other.
Yeah.
So the two jazz songs, the two, what are the last two tracks? What is that?
Well, I mean, the last, like, type of vocal? Three, I have no idea. It's very, it's like a traditional Japanese.
Like
it's like a spiritual, like a ritual or something.
Like think Jiraiya's theme in
Jiraiya's
Naruto.
Theme for Naruto's, or, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
So that like he there were some that I starred because the transition was like spot on. Like he nailed it. And I think that's all that I have.
That's all she wrote?
All she wrote, because I was having a hard time keeping up with notes in general. I didn't even get to write enough notes because we were running out of time.
I know. You know you can, like, pause.
I know. I don't have time.
I
don't have time to pause.
You can pause the OST and then just keep writing. It's amazing.
No, there's no time.
Well, my overall notes for this, I mean, I'm loving the sounds and timbres chosen for this OST. Great job capturing the audience's emotion while keeping the setting of the time period. Traditional plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than anything we've reviewed so far. The composer thoroughly analyzed color, setting, realism, and emotion for these pieces. Wonderfully executed so far, and this is only by track 5. And then I was like, what is that, a didgeridoo? Like, what is it? There's a instrument in there. There's quite a few instruments.
There's
in there
a lot
I do
of
not
instruments.
Know. I don't
here.
Know what the names of them are, but really, really peculiar and beautiful sounds.
Yeah, there's a hikiriki.
Yeah, there's like a couple different types of traditional Japanese flutes.
Fue, satsumas,
koto.
Like, there's a
shamisen.
Lot. There's a lot of instruments in here that keep it very traditional. And
but there's a couple of instruments that I have no idea. I don't know what the fuck they are. It sounds like playing with the forces of evil in ancient Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazingly recorded and engineered. I love the rooms that they chose for some of this. I love how... there was one recording of, it was just a rubato, either shamisen or koto. I don't remember what it was, but it was just solo, and you could hear the performer's foot tapping to the tempo, like just really subtly thumping underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't tapping the toes that would make a little, like, kind of a clappy sound. It was just, you could feel the pulse of their leg going up and down. Like, you could just hear it. So, wonderfully recorded. You could hear breathing in between. You hear breathing with some of the phrases that they were playing. It was really cool.
Yeah, I put that in. I didn't make it an overall note because I kept writing it every time I heard it. But I was like, man, this feels so raw. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm in the room with them.
And part of that playing with the time period, like sounds from the time period, I'll get more in depth to it when we play the first song, 5. But they do, like, I don't know, some of the instruments that they chose, I hope this doesn't come across as, I mean this with the most respect. They sound like cheap in a way, or I guess handmade, homemade kind of instruments, because they sound like, it's going to sound bad. They sound crappy, but on purpose. You know what I mean? They sound like budget, like they were homemade.
Well, I mean,
not by a craftsman.
I think that might also be, like, in technicality, too, because I feel like a lot of those instruments are played with expression in a way because they're blown on or they have to be played, like, articulated a certain type of way.
Well, yeah. And I was thinking more for, like, the time period.
Right, but
you
that's also...
You can't just go out and buy one.
Right.
You have to make one.
Well, that's also what I mean is that the expression probably was, like, guided to sound more like this, like, you... This is your first instrument, like you got it from like the tradesman who came through town or something like that. You know, like that's
where you
what
found
I,
a broken one and repaired
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like you know, I feel like that it is a technicality with those specific instruments because of the expression that they have to use in different ways. You go to like something a little more intimate where it's just like, you know, this lady in a kimono, like sitting in the middle of a room, and it's a very intimate crowd. And then you have the people who play the shamisen who are like in groups of people and they're playing it really aggressively.
Like in an assault. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like there's just like the expression was to be of that sound.
Yeah. And I think they did a good job. That's what I mean by super thoroughly thought through.
Yeah.
The time period.
The setting.
The setting, the characters, like everything about it. So using a repaired or a something cheap, handmade, found, and refurbished, that sort of, it comes across in the sounds that they chose and the instruments that they chose to record. I love that. The OST feels very classic film. like familiar in a good way. Yeah. But though it may not need it all of the time, it could do for some 2019 modern contemporary uniqueness to it. Kind of has elements, but I want a little bit more. And when I'm writing this, guys, remember I'm at like between 10 and 12. So I didn't even get to the track 33. And they did bring in some of that modernness.
They did.
They did. I hear Hunter Hunter and Wizard of Oz, maybe. Like, it's classic film. And Hunter Hunter was very classical and whimsical and, like, yeah, that classic vibe. This is not a whimsical vibe at all, but it's just had that familiar classic film to it, or classical music. And it's ironic that the other was the director also did Hunter Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I see what they're going for. You can tell that they worked as a team. No matter the emotional attempt, it gets that old school feel, which is really cool. Take me back to the land of the samurai. Like, all these traditional instruments just make me want to go visit the 1400s Japan.
Yeah.
As like a spirit, though, not like for real. I want to watch it. I want to observe.
Don't interact with me.
I don't want to participate. I would die. I would definitely die.
That's true honesty, Garrett.
This version of me now, maybe in a past life, I was a warrior. But this version of me now would die. So I'd love to go observe it as a spirit, astral project into 1400s Japan.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right?
Good luck.
The blended melodies and harmonies of the plucked and bowed string instruments is so good. Great colors. And they do a lot of melody layering, like stacking, rather. So instead of harmonies of the same melody, they just double it, but with a different instrument. So it just sounds really big. The orchestra feels alive. Great use of melody, stacking to drive home the themes of the pieces. Captures tragedy so fucking well. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Lots of tension. And that was it for me. That was all my overall notes.
Well, our notes were eerily similar.
Very close, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're listening to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yes, Garrett, but we all have different opinions.
You're right. You're right. But we got the same thing from it, which means that they did a good job.
They did a good job. Okay. So it starts out with track one, which is Do Ro Ro, and already they bring in those Wodaiko drums. Like, that's the first thing that you hear from this OST. And the issue with what I had said is that so far, all of those could have been half stars by track eight. Didn't know that I was going to have so many full stars. So it was actually kind of hard because Garrett and I starred.
There was not a bad song.
No, there wasn't a bad song.
We can't even play you guys a song that we thought was bad because there was not a single fucking bad song.
Not a bad song at all. So it was really hard for us to decide on the three songs that we're about to play you. But we definitely want you to hear the traditional sound. And we also want you to hear like a little bit of like the lightheartedness that comes from this OST that quickly turns not lighthearted anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited about that one. But overall, like, let me count how many full stars I have. So I have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 full stars out of 33 tracks. I starred a third of this OST.
Hot damn.
It was so hard to decide because there were so many that I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I need to star that one or not. Like,
it was hard for me.
Is the next one going to be okay?
It was hard for me to, like, pick a critique. Like, I was kind of grasping at straws trying to figure out what was wrong with this thing. And I only really had one thing, and it's not even a negative comment. It's just there wasn't that super perfect song. Like, there wasn't a unique one that blew my mind. Nothing blew my mind. It all was like really fucking good.
Yeah, there was nothing that just made me be like, I am going to sing this song for like I will forever and always compare any song that I find a 7 or like beyond to Made in Abyss.
Yeah, you love Made in
Abyss. I love Made in Abyss OST. So grateful for that. But there was never a song in here that I'm like, man, I could like sing this song after this is all said and done, like 3 weeks from now. But again, I start a third of the track, and that's not including my half stars. So
yeah, I didn't have too many full stars, but let's just go right into playing them some shit.
Let's start. You want to start with five, or do you want to go backwards? Would you want to mix it up? Are we going crazy tonight?
We're going crazy. No, let's do five.
All right.
Whatever. We're not going crazy.
Whatever.
You're going crazy. All right, five is called I think it's called I.
Indeed.
AI. What a great and unique sounding reverb. Or maybe it sounds even more unique because of what's reverberating. What is that? It's like this weird, that's the didgeridoo thing. I was like, what the fuck is that instrument? Not a didgeridoo.
It's not.
Not at all. It's not. Not at fucking all. It was just like this weird, like, buzzy, hummy horn thing.
I thought it was a stringed instrument.
It could have been a stringed instrument. But that's how exotic it sounded. I was like, what the fuck is that? Holy shit, it's just so musical in a way that most people don't normally consider. Creaks, scrapes, things that don't take the form of notes or common percussion. And wow, this is just such a pretty and heavy, like emotionally, kind of piece. The melody is gorgeous. The instruments almost sound cheap, that's what I was talking about, or poorly made. So much cool buzz from the frets, or I think it's a fret. Wherever the metal was, it was metal on metal. It sounded cool. Sounds amazing when played in this way. What were your notes for five?
Oh, this was one of the ones that I was like, I love how raw the instruments sound.
They're very raw.
Yeah, the reverberation and the delay on the stringed instrument is incredibly beautiful. And the simple background music of the orchestra is... like, the orchestra is highlighted because of how awesome the reverb was on this instrument. Like, it all combined to be this very beautiful piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously the spotlight's on this, whatever instrument it is. I will eventually figure it out. But it took the spotlight, but the orchestra was, like, enhanced even so.
Yeah, let's paired really let's, well. Let's show them. Let's just show them.
Okay,
show
just them just listen to my things.
Yeah, here's what it is.
Didgeridoo.
That's the weird. It's definitely a boat instrument.
It's a boat instrument, string for sure. You can even hear the strings vibrating.
Yeah, I hear this the resin. Yeah, look, oh, the scrapes.
So pretty. And creaky. It sounds so creepy.
I love it. And this pad that they have underneath.
Yeah. But like doesn't...
They don't let the creaks and stuff live alone in that musical atmosphere. They bring that hum underneath. Oh, that is so fucking cool.
But like... how cool is it that you can hear all the things that are happening in this room?
And you got the strings too. So subtle.
That's what I'm saying. But like they're actually like enhanced because of this instrument. They play off of the reverberation of the instrument.
I love the chord changes.
It sounds similar to like a lullaby. Like the melody isn't like a bunch of like stacked chords or anything. Like it's just like a simple melody.
It's telling a story. It's like having a conversation.
Yeah. Like, do you hear it? Like, do you hear the orchestra coming in just, like, a little bit delayed from the solo?
Yeah. Like, the solo's a little
ahead. So they're,
ahead.
Like, playing off of that reverberation, and that is so cool.
It just blossoms
out. It's like,
out.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's the same instrument playing, like, after it? That's stuck. Yeah, is that a harp, or do you think that's another?
That's a harp.
Is that a harp? It's so pretty. Like, who would have thought to fucking combine
this? This is a beautiful fucking song.
But also notice that he's not playing anything the same that we've heard already. Like, no, that was a completely...
It tells the story, and, like, it gets all pitchy and fucking out of tune. The tuning's really cool.
And lets it ring out. I love it, because some of the songs...
Super cold, dark reverb.
Some of these songs don't ring. They just abruptly end, and some of them don't even resolve.
It's a really cool OST, guys. Go fucking listen to it.
All right, so the next one that we're going to play for you, we said 17?
17.
Okay, 17.
Ariya Shiki,
which some of these I was able to look up because it was like a almost unanimous translation. So this one is consciousness forming base of human existence. So it's
That's what it means?
So the idea that consciousness is the form.
Of the human existence.
Yes. So I liked this song, especially because it had such an ethereal start. Like, it just, like, echoed at you. It was a lot of reverb and noise-like sounds from the sound design. And then it builds super texturally and dynamically. Like, it's in and out and just all over the place. That was all my notes. I was, like, entranced by the song. I couldn't write anything.
Oh, yeah. So I wrote, here's the 2019 elements I was looking for. Modern yet traditional. Wow, this piece has so many cool elements. How do you write phrases like this? It's all feel. It's hard to write for a piece like this. It's just, let's just play it. Let's just play it. Let me just fucking play it for you. All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let me find it. There it is, Ariya Shiki.
My God.
So spooky.
Like, this is so much texture. So much. They
so
just
much
like
texture.
Keep adding something new.
But the lead is just so rubato.
Yeah. But like, even the changes in pitch.
And for those of you who aren't, you know, music nerds like us, rubato just means lacking a tempo, really. Doesn't adhere to really a tempo. Falls in and out of time.
Yeah. No strict.
And they give it a rhythm.
I like that it's not just like a drum that's like a one pitch kind of thing. Like, it has its own melody.
Yeah. And it's growing with dynamics and tension. I love the bass underneath. It just adds so much more tension to it.
It's like weird because they turned that percussion beat in the back. It was like that bum, 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 bum. And that was like what you like moved your leg to because that was the only thing in like a rhythm.
Sorry, I forgot to hit pause.
I'm glad you were so entranced by my speaking.
Yeah, I was curious what you were going to say.
Oh, man.
Did I distract you?
You distracted me. Oh, no.
You were just talking about how that rhythm underneath.
Oh yeah. And so like the rhythm underneath is just like this, like, you know, standard issue beat. Like it's on time and you're like moving your knee to it. And then all of a sudden it's like, ba-da-dum.
Yeah, throws you for a loop.
Like it completely changes like its whole thing. So I thought that was really cool too, because usually like a snare goes like the same rhythm the entire time.
Not this one.
Not this. This one didn't do it. God damn it.
Yeah, it's fucking super cool. All right, last one we're gonna play for you. Is number 23, if I remember you.
Yes.
Saying
yes.
That? Okay.
Law of Harmony.
And 21 and 22, guys, were the jazzy ones. So this follows up the jazzy ones. Such random
and,
jazz, too.
And you get to hear a Hichiriki. So please go check out number 22, because it's got a Hichiriki. It's a little swingy, jazzy.
Oh, yeah.
Jazz.
Super cool. All right. Well, 23.
You pronounce it, Garrett. Say ho.
Sai Hojodu. Hojodo? I don't know how to say it. That's terrible.
God. I just wrote dot, dot, dots after.
Just butchering the Japanese language.
What'd you say?
It sounds like the post-battle resolve or something. Like, very epic-sounding piece. Epic in a strong protagonist way, as in, like, the threat is gone sort of thing. But tragedy happens. But we're stronger and we're together because of it. You know, the breakdown is insanely dramatic. And takes us out of the piece a bit shaken about the future.
Mm. So, I said, my God. That was my first phrase. It's so peaceful. And if this isn't the mindset of Daigo, I don't know what is. Because I listened to this whole piece and then I wrote my notes. Because I was like, what is happening? Because it sounded so pretty. Like it comes out with this like really lighthearted
it's
and almost like
pretty.
Upbeat. And then all of a sudden it just changes. And the last 15 seconds of this song are like outrageous. Like it swells and there's a decrescendo into the end. And this is the one that really was like, man, like you have a story to tell. You started this story. Now I want to know, like we started as like pure and good. And then we changed into this evil chaotic. So I really want to know, like, does it resolve? Do we get through this? So it's fitting of the anime too.
Yeah, I love how each one of these pieces you can kind of tell what's happening in the anime.
Yeah.
That's how you know an OST fits really well, because even standalone, you're like, oh,
I know exactly what
picture
like,
what the fuck's going on,
and maybe not to the very scene, but like you can hear the story
yes,
in your head.
Absolutely. So yeah, let's play that one. 23. I'm not gonna butcher this one again. I'm just gonna play it.
Do it.
No butchering the words.
It doesn't sound happy. It doesn't sound sad. It just sounds like harmony. Everybody's just living. It's peaceful. It's good.
It's a little happy.
Harmony is happiness.
Like, it feels like Lord of the Rings. We just made it to the elf.
Yeah.
The elf realm.
The elf realm after, like, taking down the eye of Sauron.
And he's like, I love you, Samwise.
Samwise. So pretty.
Beautiful.
Wooden flutes are so
I love
pretty.
That chord change.
This is the track that made me write, y'all know I love dynamics.
My God. But then we change this weird tense sort of thing.
Yeah, like it swells up.
This sounds like...
And then, oh my God!
This,
suspense!
It seriously reminds me so much of Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah, it does. Except they add in... like
Except it's more adult. It's,
Yes. Which, I mean, is essentially what this manga was for him.
My God.
Like, what? Like, don't you want more from that?
What kind of resolve was that? That was such a great piece.
It's insane. It's insane. And then track 25 is titled Daigo. Those dark undertones, man, they tell a story about these characters and like match their personalities. He matches their personalities very well in terms of how he uses the instruments and the tones and the dynamics. And oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so good. It's a phenomenal OST. Phenomenal job.
Yes. Garrett, I have one question.
What's your question? Is it about the rating?
It's about the rating. What do you think we should rate this?
Man, it's tough. Like, I might have to put this one, because this is the best one we've done so far. It's not a 7.
It's got to be above a 4.5.
It's not a 7. But it's also, I feel like it's not a 6. I originally said 6 because it's almost the unknown of what we're going to hear next.
Don't do that.
We can always
set a new standard for what a 7 should be. I mean,
that's
like,
true.
That's
we could change. That's what I was going to say, is like we could change the rating later if we had to. So I think that this one, I don't know, I feel like it deserves more than a 6.
Well, that's what I said. I said a 6.5 originally.
Let's put it at...
Are we going 6.25 right
now? Let's do 6.25. Let's do it.
6.25 rating, folks. You heard it.
6.25. It is because it's funny. Just so good. Like, it is fucking super good. But I don't think there was any, like, playing or solo that just really blew. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But, like, I don't know. It's tough to decide.
I mean, I totally understand, but I mean, you and I were thinking along the same lines. Like, I wouldn't give this a 7, and only because there was not anything that was just like, oh my God, this is my favorite song. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for all season long, to get to an OST that is just like,
it's like every fucking song was just like, fuck yeah. But none of them were like, oh, I need to go learn that right now.
Yeah. So, I will meet you at 6.25.
6.25.
We'll do it. 6.25. Such a good OST, especially if you really liked like Naruto and the use of traditional instruments and things like that. You will definitely love this, and it is just up and down with emotion. Not a very lot of lighthearted songs, though. So yeah, if you'd want to feel happy-go-lucky,
this is not a happy-go-lucky OST.
You're not going to find it here, my friend.
This is an emotional story.
This is an emotional story.
Yes. All right, let's move on to opener number 2.
Yes. OP2 is titled Dororo by Asian Kung Fu Generation.
I have a hunch here that's going to be pretty fitting.
Probably.
Just a hunch.
Well, as OP2s in a 24-episode anime typically go, this covered through 13 through 24. It was released as their 26th single in May of 2019. And there's a video that actually accompanies this that they made, which is highly aligned with the anime. I still need to watch it, but the video itself is about a strange creature that lives in a human heart.
Weird.
And I was like, whoa, that is pretty dark. And it got a lot of, like, there's a lot of articles about it. It's very strange. I didn't read them because I didn't want to be spoiled myself. It appeared on the album released this last March of 2022 called Planet Folks in an album version. So it was Dororo, the album version.
Interesting.
It peaked at number 17 on the Oricon, 10th on the Japan Hot 100, and the video placed at number 10 on the Japan Hot Animation.
Well, shit.
So this song did overall pretty well. And Asian Kung Fu Generation, you already know, plenty about them.
Yes, we've talked about them twice now.
Twice. Naruto and Erased. So if you want to learn about them, go to Naruto.
There you go. All righty. Opener number two. Let's go.
All righty. And then it loses a little bit of its luster.
It definitely doesn't have the same vibe. It doesn't hold hands with the first two songs.
And it doesn't really hold hands with ending two either. So boo. Do you think maybe it's because, like, as the anime progressed, like, it got a little bit more intimate between Taiki and Dororo?
It could be. I mean, the animation style is different, too, for the opening sequence. It looks like the anime.
Yeah.
Instead of the cool, like, watercolor. It could be because we progressed farther into the story.
Right.
We got a little more,
And, like, the first half was really, like, explaining, like, what happened with the demon and why he is the way that he is. So, I mean, that fits with that portion.
I like the song. I like the guitar tone. But it doesn't really... It's a great song, don't get me wrong. I can sing along to it. But it doesn't, like, it's not that unique, I guess.
No, it's not. And that's why I said it, like, kind of lost its grit that it had at the very beginning.
Yeah, it's not as
like
unique.
Like, the first 5 seconds were my favorite.
The first two songs that we listened to, the opening one and ending one, were just a lot more creative, I think.
Yeah.
So, not bad. Let's see if the lyrics fit.
All right. First line, betrayed by this world, and it shimmers within, rupturing my innards, swelling a reddish black. Oh my God. Until the sunburnt skin ruptures, there is a light in the depths of the seething darkness, confirming each other's voices in the distance, as if to stroke with wet fingertips. I'd like to touch you one day. Sorry. That whole thing.
Oh yeah?
I can't help it.
Get
man.
Your mind out of the gutter.
That's gutter material. Wet fingertips.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me that you didn't also see that.
Grow up.
I'd like to touch you one day.
With wet fingertips.
With wet fingertips.
Come here, let me give you a wet willy. Ew, did you just slurp into the microphone?
I did.
What's wrong with you? Yeah, I mean, it kind of fits.
It's super poetic, and it fits, like, in I guess if it's the title of the anime manga as well, I mean, it should be an overlying theme, I suppose.
They kind of set the bar high for us, though, with everything that we've heard so far.
Yeah.
Everything
up
until now.
I mean, they got to hook you.
Everything up until now, like, this song, it might get the goat noise.
Yeah.
Maybe a goat ching. Because it, like, kind of, it's a combination of the two.
I got that.
Okay, yeah. I don't know, it's not a bad song. It just doesn't really fit the like, style of what everything, they like I said, they set the bar really high. I love Asia Kung for Generation.
I'm having a hard time with this one. I think we should just give it the goat noise.
Just give it the goat noise?
Just give it the goat noise.
All right. It gets a meh.
I made a decision.
It just gets a meh. All right. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do it.
Give me ending two, Garrett.
Ending two, Yamio by Eve. Is it? There we go. That's how you
give me words, Garrett. That makes sense.
That's how you speak. It. Appeared on episodes 13 through 24, you know the deal. Released June of 2019 as their fourth single and appeared on the album Smile. It peaked at number 31 on the Oricon. You happy? I did it for you.
Thank you.
You already know about Eve. We did them in our JJK episode. just a few weeks ago. So we don't need to dive into them.
I do like this song. But this one, like Eve, so I feel like I'm also biased on that.
It could, yeah, you might be biased. You got to look at it objectively here.
I cannot.
But this one actually ranked lowest out of all of the songs.
I know.
At least on Oricon.
Oh, so, I'm aware. It's weird.
It is. That is weird. So I'm curious to see, especially since the one that ranked, I know Oricon's all about just purchasing and like sales and units delivered, but Fire only at 22.
Yeah. So I just, you know, just people don't know. People just don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's got to be what it is.
Let's dive right in. Let's go. It already holds hands better with the first two songs.
Right.
And it gives
you
that release.
The first one does not hold hands with this one. And his voice is very similar to Queen Bee's voice.
Yeah.
And actually, when I first heard the first opener, I thought it was Eve to begin with. And then I was surprised and I was like, oh, Eve did the ending and the first opening?
Nope. This song's very good. I'm surprised it ranked so low. I think it's because it's too unique. It's not the most poppy song. The melody's very pop.
Yeah.
This holds hands really well with ending number one.
They nailed the ending.
Oh, man. Sounded like he had a little autotune on his voice, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but great song.
Yeah. The lyrics also match with this one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man, I loved the string section. It was very orchestral. And done well. Yeah, Asian Kung Fu Generation. This
fell
song
through on that one.
The song didn't belong on this anime.
No.
So yeah, go into the lyrics for me.
The first line is "Born into this world, there is no salvation."
Hmm.
The distorted shape of a heart, yet it beats so courageously.
Yep.
Like, nailed it.
Yep.
Walking the devil's path, there is no return. Witnessing the withering seasons, we search for the definite truth.
Now, you see how he's saying exactly what's happening on the screen, but it sounds poetic?
Yeah, I'm here for it.
That is the fucking art that I'm looking for, especially from insert songs.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to hear exactly what's
happening.
This is
prime example, because that is exactly what's happening in the anime. That's spoiler for the anime.
Yeah. If you want a spoiler, listen to the last ending.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. It's totally walking the devil's path. Like they even say almost that verbatim in the show. Yeah, but they wrote it in there very poetically.
Yes. So lyrics definitely fit. The song fits the anime beautifully. It gets a cha-ching from me.
Cha-ching away.
Hell yeah.
Damn, we flew through those last two.
Hell yeah. It helps when we've done them before.
Yeah.
And we don't need to give you additional information.
I like talking about new bands, though.
I love talking about new bands.
Going in and researching them. It's pretty cool.
So, I don't have any fun facts for you guys, but I do have, like, an anime in past Dororo reference. So there's the scene in the anime where Dororo's mom like brings her that hot broth in her hands.
Oh yeah.
Like super sad memory. It's referenced in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Steel Ball Run, with Diego Brando's mom performing the exact same scene.
That was brutal.
Yeah. So that's a little fun fact. So if you've seen that, I have not, then you should have known.
You should have known.
You didn't catch the reference because I doubt you've seen it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure if you're listening to this episode, you've seen it. Yeah, I really enjoyed this OST. I love opening one and ending two. Those are my two favorites.
Opening one and ending two?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the best ones for sure.
Yeah, and I loved learning about Osomu Tezuka. That was really interesting
the
to like,
the
learn
manga
more.
God.
The manga god. I had fun learning about him. So this was a fun episode. I had fun.
Somebody should do an anime or manga about the manga god.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Fun concept.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching this. And thank you, Nina, the other, I guess technically my boss at work.
Yeah, Garrett started watching this anime without me.
I only watched the first episode.
He started an anime and he's like, yeah, you'll like this. And I'm like, Garrett, I've said that I want to watch this. Why are you watching it at work?
I just wanted to test it out. Sometimes you got to do that. You got to test it. And then I rewatched the first episode with you.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
We're a team.
I was quality controlling this bitch. I just fucking tested it out.
I didn't need you to do that.
Well,
I already knew I wanted to watch it.
It's too late. So thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Nina.
For telling me about this anime and making me watch it at work.
Not okay. Well, my friends, our stomachs are growling.
Yeah, we're really hungry. We haven't eaten.
And we also ate an edible before we started this episode.
Oh, yeah. So it's been like slowly kicking in.
Yeah.
So we're just getting hungrier
the
farther this goes on.
So as usual, we thank you for like literally everything that you do for us by interacting with us and listening to us and like truly listening to us.
Making the shit even more fun for us.
Yeah.
At least a little more rewarding.
So
instead
so
of giving
you
the whole spiel, just go look in the description of the episode. And the only thing I want to say is follow us on social media, Instagram at Anime Noise Podcast. We got lots of shit for you.
And talk to us.
Yes.
We like to talk to y'all.
Shoot us a fucking message. We'll respond.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's
but
it.
Go look at the things. We love you.
Go listen to the things.
Go listen
look and
things.
Listen.
Can I tell them about what next week's episode is?
Yeah, sure.
So we're on a journey, and we've been watching Bleach. Well, I've been watching it for the first time, and Garrett's rewatching it with me. So next week, we will be doing the first Bleach OST.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I'm covering one of those songs.
Hell yeah. So stay tuned, because we're about to go in for a ringer. We love you and thank you.
Yes, thank you, you beautiful fuckers. we're gonna get some food now.
We'll see you next time on another episode of
Anime Noise. Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.